in Jesus' precious name. In Jesus' precious name. Give him the praise as you take your seat. That's right. It's going to be very, very heavy this morning. A royal priesthood. The purpose and necessity of existence above. The purpose and necessity of above only existence. Our objective is to understand God's purpose and the necessity of our existence as royal priesthood. It has been made abundantly clear that God's plan for us is to exist as kingly priests and priestly kings. To exist in the highest realms of human endeavor. Highest realms. To exist on the top of our game. To exist above only. You are a medical doctor, you are a lawyer, you are an entrepreneur, a banking and finance personality, whatever realm, above only. The question is, what does God want to achieve? Why is it necessary? Is it just for show? Is it just to become like other people? Please pay attention carefully. Why is it necessary? What is the purpose? Number one, to bring maximum honor and glory to the Almighty. Maximum honor and glory. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 9 to verse 10, he said, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Existence as a royal priesthood is an expression of your praise. To show forth the praises of him. There are many ways we praise God. We praise God with our mouth. We praise God with our character. But we praise God with our excellence and eminence and prominence. Your excellence, your eminence, your prominence. Being a principal player on the planet Earth is an honor to your maker. mediocre is a disgrace to your color. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 and in verse 16, he said, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Let your light so shine, be outstanding before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. There is a generation waiting to honor God because of your outstanding life. There is a generation waiting to respect God because of your top place existence. One young man here is an intercessor, a prayer person here in this church. I think he brought his children to me sometime, and the children weren't doing very well or something. I lay hands on their head. He said to me that the one is in senior secondary school, the other one is in junior secondary school. All of them cleared all the gifts, the awards. They were the top on everything. You know what he said to me? He said, I was the proudest father on that graduation day. I was the proudest father. That is, all parents came for graduation. But me, they saw me, they honored and respected me differently for being the father of such outstanding children. I know how I felt in the graduation of our children. When they are mentioning awards and gifts, you pick this and pick that and did this and did that, overall this, overall that. That is the honor of Jehovah. That is the respect of Jehovah. When they say the owner of the largest bank in the country is an usher in his church. When they say the owner of the largest aircraft fleet in Nigeria is a prayer band member of his church. When they say the owner of the largest construction company in the land is a church counselor. That is, those who want to look down on God cannot. Those who want to look down on the church cannot. Those who want to look down on the pastor cannot. Your excellence is a department of your righteousness. That was how Daniel was. Daniel was upright. It's a department of your righteousness. Your excellence is a department of your holiness. That was how John Wesley, who practiced excellence, coined godly cleanliness is next to godliness. It's a department. So why will we be at the top? We must be at the top to bring maximum honor and glory to the Almighty. Number two, to take charge. Say it this way, to assume the command, control, and rulership of the earth on behalf of our God. To assume the control, the command, the control, and rulership of the earth on behalf of our God. In other words, in Genesis 1 and in verse 28, when God created the earth and he said, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea. I want you to help me take charge of the earth. In Psalm 115 and in verse 16, Psalm 115, he said, the heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth has he given to the children of men. In other words, I want to rule in heaven, But I want trusted people to help me rule on earth. Anybody like that here? He said that to Judah in Hosea chapter 11 verse 12. Hosea chapter 11 verse 12. He said, Ephraim compasseth me about with lies. And the house of Israel with the B parts are concerned. But Judah yet ruleth with God. And is faithful with the saints. God wants those who will rule with him. He rules co-rulers. He rules above you rule in agricultural realm. He rules above you rule in the education realm. He rules above you rule in banking and finance. He rules above you rule in industry, in manufacturing. He rules above you rule in the arts. It is like this. I want to give my property to caretakers that I know. That's what he wants to do. He doesn't want to be the unbeliever to be the caretaker of the finance realm on earth. How do you feel when the son of your enemy is the caretaker of your house? The person who wants your downfall. Satan wants the downfall of God. You know, I'm sure you know that the kingdom of darkness thinks that they will still win the battle against light. That's their hope. The fake hope that Satan gives them. How do you feel that the person who doesn't want you to leave is the one managing your money? If there is hospital bill, will he pay? It is normal and natural for this child of a man to be the heir of his property. God wants his people and his children to take charge of his planet Earth property. That is why it is essential. Every time we leave these realms for the devil, we are causing losses for our Father. We are causing pain to the heart of our Maker. When we leave these realms for the sinners, we leave the realms for the atheists, we leave the realms for the unbelievers, it is pain to the heart of our Maker. My father ran luxury buses when we were growing up. I mean, ran a lot of luxury buses, lorries, trucks, and so on. During holidays, at times, we will apply to work with the buses, the luxury buses. Holidays. I remember when I think I was age 17 or 16, when I told my wife, I said I want to work with the buses. Can you allow me to? He looked at me and said, really? He said, okay, you can go. So we'll follow the bus, inside the bus, Lagos to Kano, Lagos to Kaduna, Kaduna to Kano. The buses will be on the road for like 1 month before they return back. Oh yes. You'll be on the road, that is, during that trip, that they'll just be like that before they return back. Normally when the drivers and the conductors see you around, any misbehavior is checked. That is the normal plenty attachment they used to put in the middle. Attachment money, load money, and any crooked thing. I know a lot of motorpark language and luxury business language. Because they realize that there is a guy here who is not of our fold, who can report matters to highest authority. So he puts them in check. And while the things is happening, you have your own record. How many people they carry from Lagos to Kano, Kano to Lagos? What was used for fuel, what was used for tire changing and all that, and then what is the balance? The daily allowance of driver and conductor and separate, subtracted from the overall income, and then you know what is the balance. So this is what should be declared when we return. But when such is not in place, anything can happen. They can make 100,000 and say it was 25,000 they made. In fact, for 2 weeks we didn't move anywhere. That is in those days, not now. Now things are a bit more electronic. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? Our father suffered losses if we leave his estate in the hands of his enemies. Our heavenly father suffers damage and pain. Even the cause of the kingdom is hot. Is it not money they are using to sponsor terrorism? To burn down churches and kill people? Money in the hands of demons. Money in the hands of demons. That will lead me to point number three. And point number three is very important. Why is it necessary for you to go up? Number three is different from number two. Number three is to administer the resources of the Father for his cause on the earth. To administer and apply the resources of the Father to his cause in the earth. For his cause on the earth. In Zechariah chapter 1 and in verse 17. He said, cry yet, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, my city's true prosperity shall yet be spread abroad. So I want to put my, you see, with royalty comes authority. Royalty comes prosperity. With effortlessly. I want to put my people in places. And commit to them neat resources. And let these neat resources be used for my cause. I believe that a time will come shortly where one person will build a building like this for God in one part of the world. Anybody like that here, you believe God, you shout the loudest, say amen. Look at Matthew chapter 21 and in verse 2 to 3. See what happened. He said, from verse 1, Jesus speaking, and when they drew nigh to Jerusalem, and we had come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, then he sent two of his disciples, Jesus now, saying unto them, go into the village over against you, and straightway you shall find an ass tied, and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say unto you, if they say, what is it? You shall say, the Lord has need of them. And straight away, he will release them. God wants to commit resources into the hands of people that will release them straight away. Did you hear that? He wants to commit resources into the hands of people that will release them without question, without argument. And you said the Lord has need. They say, which Lord? What did he? Why is he saying so? Straight away. Mark chapter 14 verse 12. All the way to verse 14. And the first day of the unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover, his disciples said unto him, where will you that we go and prepare that thou may eat the Passover? And he sended for two of his disciples and said unto them, go ye into the city, and there shall meet you a man bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him. And wheresoever he shall go in, say ye to the good man of the house, the master said, where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he will show you a large upper room furnished, not only furnished, prepared. There, make ready for us. There was a man already in whose hand God had put the resources, who has made things prepared. All that is needed is for the master to ask. Beloved brothers and sisters, how sweet is it for the crusade to be ready? You don't know how the venue was paid for. You don't know how the lighting and stage was paid for. You don't know how the handbills were paid for. You don't know anything. All that you know is that they said the place is ready. It has been furnished. The ground is ready. Just step to the stage, carry microphone and start preaching. God's servant here, Reverend Esau Akereme. God's handmaid, evangelist, Mrs. Aloma. These are people who go places others don't. Normal people don't go. Interior village. Ayaragu, Uju. Barakin Ladi. Where are we going this December? Fuga. Agenebode. Igara. Auchi. Doma. You see, now, and the thing is intensive financially, is intensive spiritually, because until you go to the localities, you have not contacted demons yet. You have not encountered devils yet. Primitive ones, local ones that are not educated. Because education polishes people. It makes you reason a bit. I feel what I'm saying there. That is why God is in this end time raising people. So that the upper room was already prepared, already furnished. You just step in and move. And when you don't have a money distraction, unction flows like water. Is God speaking to somebody here? Is God speaking to somebody here? I prophesy today, people, men and women, that will have massive resources, massive resources, massive resources, massive resources, massive resources, that will impact generations. They are rising out of here. Lift your voice and say, I must command the resources. Say it louder, I must command the resources. I must command the resources. Not just for my sake. For the sake of the kingdom. I must have money. Plenty of it. When our church was new, under 3 months, we're paying 14,000 every service as of 1996. Do you know the inflation rate and convert it today at Sheraton? Every service. And so we're doing it for a long time. And then one day some members of the people of the church came and said, excuse me, sir, just not too long. Say, please, we don't want you to bother about how this place is paid. We know it's very costly. 14,000 a Sunday. We will handle it. You just face the preaching. It wasn't too long before we left there though. But I didn't need to think. Once that... So, all I need was, and then in those days, my wife and I will go to that Sheraton hall that we had the meeting on Saturday night, pray brutally. All manner of things. Angels moving in the sanctuary ahead of the next day. While we are praying. The time need to come where God will raise people that will tell you what is the budget of the crusade for 1 year. How many churches are we planning to plant for 1 year? And what is the budget of the planting of the churches for 1 year? Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? And there are people like that here. And it is you God is raising. Master, the upper room is prepared. It has already also been furnished. So we are not talking about just building a church, but sound is inside. Chairs are inside. Everything is inside. That is why it is necessary for God to position people so that they can control the resources and use the resources to promote and to push his cause in the earth. Take your seat. That was what he did with Cyrus in Isaiah chapter 45 and in verse 1. Thus said the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holding, to subdue nations before him, and I will loose the loins of kings, to open before him the two-limbed gates, and the gates shall not be shut. I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass. I will cut in sunder the bars of iron. God is talking to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holding. I will give you the treasures of darkness and the hidden riches of secret places. I will show you money people haven't seen yet. I will link you with resources people are not aware of yet, that thou may know that I, the Lord, which called thee by thy name, I am the God of Israel. Why am I giving you this money? Verse 13. I have raised him, this same Cyrus, in righteousness. I will direct his ways. I will show him how to spend that money I just gave him. And he shall build my city with the money. Not just a building, not a church. You know, when you talk of Canaan land, you are not talking of a building, you are talking of a city. When you are talking about this place, you are not talking of a land. He shall build my city, and he shall let my captives go free. That is, his resources will facilitate the liberty of a generation. Crusades, healing things, and things that free people. That is what I'm raising him for, and not for price or for reward. You won't be looking for price or reward from the people, saith the Lord. Somebody here who is stepping into that realm, you shout the loudest, amen. If you are saying amen, shout the loudest, amen. I can go on and on. Shunammite woman that we just read about. She was a wealthy woman who used her money for the cause of the kingdom. 2 Kings chapter 4 verse 8 to 10. The Shunammite woman used her resources, built a house for the prophet. And then the next example is Joseph of Arimathea. He used his resources. He built a tomb. In Matthew 27, verse 57 to verse 60. And the master was laid in a new tomb. You know, he was a sinless son of God. And when he needed to be born, he needed to be born in a new womb. When he needed to be buried, he needed to be buried in a new tomb. Whether it's the womb or the tomb, it must be new. And Joseph Arimathea was ready. I see a Cyrus generation here. I see a Joseph Arimathea generation here. I see some women like the Shunammite. Do you know that the Shunammite woman was more financially empowered than the husband? I'm sure you know that. Even though that didn't temper with her submission. Because when she needed to build a house, she went to take permission. from the husband. That was what kept her normal. When they went on exile and returned back in 2 Kings chapter 8, when there was a need for the recovery of her possession, it wasn't the husband who went to the king. It was her. So it is possible for women to be maximally loaded, still submissive, still under authority. I see a women generation. You see, when this lost garden was gotten and it was time to do the fence round, the fence is in kilometers, it cost hundreds of millions. At least I know that it was not costing less than 100 million. Oh yes, that time. We needed to do retaining wall in some place because of the river. Needed to do all manner of metal, concrete things. All the way around kilometers. From the one side, this side here to the other side here, at least I know it's nothing less than 1.5 kilometers to the end. And then go. What will it cost? And once the cost was mentioned, somebody dropped it. Woman. Womb man. Then I see loaded women, loaded men rising out of this place. If you are saying amen, you will say a louder amen. If you are saying amen, you will say it like a believer. Lift your right hand and say, Father. Say, Father, I am ready and I am available as your instrument in this generation. Mahashago bagadagalagaya. Every embargo placed on your life, every limitation of your life and your destiny, I declare it is broken. Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. To administer the resources of the earth. Number four is to influence. Okay, let me qualify like to be positioned to influence the lives of multitudes of people in society for God. To be positioned to influence the lives of multitudes of people in society for God. When God raised royal priests or royal priesthood, He positioned them to influence the lives of multitudes of people in society. I will just run through this. Joseph was positioned to influence the whole of Egypt. Genesis 41, 39 to 44. Daniel was positioned to influence the whole of Babylon for God. Daniel chapter 6 verse 1 to 5. And then you can read chapter 10, verse 10 to the end. Influence for God. What is the kind of influence? Let me qualify it like in three ways. First, it is influencing the quality of people's lives. Egypt would have perished without Joseph. People would have died before their time. When God, for example, makes you to build factories and to build industries and to build institutions that employ thousands, influencing the quality of people's life. Second, is influencing the lifestyle of people through kingdom principles. You know, when they say someone is a celebrity, people are trying to dress the way he dresses. If he's a bad person, he brings bad influence. There are certain celebrities that, whether they are married or they are not married, people are not sure. And they have baby mamas everywhere. My baby mama. And young people, there are celebrities that are permanently on Indian hemp. Music stars that young people think that is the life to live. Young people think that is how to succeed. If you want to succeed, smoke cannabis. And these are wrong influences. So God wants to position the right people to bring the right influence to society. Third influence is, of course, to influence people positively in the direction of God. When people see and they say, this man is a Christian, then what am I doing? He's more successful than me and he goes to church. He has more money than me and he's on crusade ground. Then they will rethink about their lives. This is the kind of thing that God wants to do, to position his royal priesthood or royal priests in positions of influence to influence society for God. Number five. What's the purpose? Number five is to be positioned as voices for the kingdom in times of need. Voices for the kingdom. Those who will speak on the behalf of God and on the behalf of God's people, because they are in places where their voices will be heard. So God placed them there. Example number one, Queen Esther. God put her in the palace so that when it was time for a wicked Haman to bring a decree that is against the church, she rises up and says, no way. Esther chapter 4 verse 16. Esther chapter 5 from verse 1. Queen Esther. It is easier for someone in the palace to speak to the king than for someone outside the palace to speak. Am I communicating? It is easier for authority to speak to authority. So in the National Assembly, when they want to make some demonic laws, somebody stands. I was watching something the other day. We are in the Ghana Parliament. They were trying to bring certain laws about gay or lesbian or something. And a man stood up, a member of the Church of Bishop Ajinasare. He stood up and he said, not in Ghana. Man can marry man. Woman can marry woman, but not when we are here. He began to quote scriptures for them. He said, don't bring the Western thing here. This is Africa. We have family values.
That's right.
If there is nobody in parliament that God has positioned, because our challenge is that we have many who claim to be church people, and they are sitting down almost, I'm sorry to use the word, when Jesus called Herod a fox. There are some of them are like dumb asses that can speak nothing in the defense of God and his church. They will just be sleeping and the laws are passing over their head. Things are signed, they are not aware. For as long as their money enters their pocket, They get a brand new car and get 200 million or 100 million. What shall he profit a man if he gains the whole world and lose his soul? Are you feeling what I'm saying here today? Voices for the kingdom. So God positions people. He gives them money. He gives them influence. He gives them position. So that when it is time for God's cause to be defended, they can speak up. Hannah said, I am about to go, Esther, to meet the king. It's not according to custom. But if I perish, I perish. Of what life is use is life without impact? If I die, let me die. But she couldn't perish. That was Esther. Our second example is Nehemiah. Nehemiah was in the palace when the news reached him about the deplorable situation of Jerusalem. Nehemiah chapter 1. All the way from verse 1 to verse 4. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down. The walls of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah. And it came to pass in the month Kislev, in the 20th year, I was in Shushan the palace, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came, and he and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also broke down. It's broken down. The gates thereof are burnt with fire. And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. And I said, I beseech thee, O Lord, God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive. And I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel thy servant. I confess the sins of the children of Israel. Anything we did, forgive us. He prayed and prayed and prayed. Keep going. We have dealt corruptly. Just keep going. Maybe you go to chapter 2. Verse 1. And it came to pass in the morning, and in the 20th year of Artaxerxes the king, that wine was before him. And I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now I had not been before time sad in his presence. Wherefore the king said unto me, why is thy countenance sad? Seeing thou art not sick. This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was very so afraid. That will happen at times. And I said unto the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad? Can you see the way somebody is talking to the king? Why should not my countenance be sad? When the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burnt with fire. Then the king said unto me, what do you want? So I prayed the God of heaven, Lord, give me quick utterance, give me quick utterance. That is a prayer at the speed of thought. Did you hear the different distance between when the king said, what do you want? And the gap between when he said, I pray to the God of heaven, and the gap between when he began to answer the king. He had not moved to the closet to pray. The prayer happened there. That is prayer, intercession, supplication at the speed of thought. See, and I said to the king, if it please the king, if your servant have found favor on your side, send me to Judah, to the city of my father's sepulcher, that I may build it. We don't have the time to read. And furthermore, the king said, all right, I have sent you. What will you need? Any money you need. Any timber you need. Military security you need. I will give you everything to go. That is how to use influence. Not distributing complimentary card. I work in the White House. How white has the church become? By your work in the White House. I walk in the presidential castle. I walk in the presidential villa. How has it influenced the church? I am a millionaire. I am a billionaire. How has it impacted the church? One of our young men met me. The guy I told you about that gave the only 50,000 naira that he was saving. You remember the story? And 2 weeks later, 100 million job came. He got 20 million. And now
he's in his billions. He came to me, he said, one of his friends met him and said that he has a land that the church is trying to price in a particular state in this country. He said that our church is trying to price that land to buy it. So the friend was telling him that our church is negotiating with our church whether about a property, and that they are yet to agree on the price, but they are working on. That he only came to ask me because he happened to hear it from his friend, just to confirm whether the church actually needs the land. That if we do, we should stop the negotiation. He will finalize with him and pay him. That is, he heard by accident that church wants to buy land. It is his friend that wants to sell it. So church, hands down, I buy it. Am I communicating at all? This is why God positioned people in money. Position people in influence. So that when you hear about the church, you don't need any advice to step forward and do what needs to be done. Joseph of Arimathea went to Pilate in Matthew, that's our third example, in Matthew 27 and in verse 57, and demanded for the body of Jesus Christ. When Peter was looking for where to hide, when Thomas is doubting that anything happened, when Judas is crying and is trying to kill himself, when Nathaniel and Bartholomew and all of them, nobody know where they are. Everybody is afraid of being caught. If you identify that you know him and you are crucified along. It was in that climate of fear, of sorrow, of gloom, that Joseph of Arimathea marched with audacity to Pilate and said, I am the disciple of the man. Me. If any disciple is hiding, I am not hiding. Pilate, you know we meet in town hall meetings. And Pilate said, oh, Joe, it's all right. Is your master? Why didn't you tell me on time? I'm sorry for your loss. I'm sorry. But the pressure was too much from everywhere. I don't know why people hated him so much. I'm sorry, Joe. I'm so sorry. He said, but what can we do, Joe, please? What can we do? So I need the body. I don't want it hanging there. I need the body. The Bible says, Pilate commanded. There is a way Joseph of Arimathea was for his request to require a command. Pilate commanded, he gave an executive order that is not subject to Senate approval. Hand him over the body now. And the body was delivered to Pilate, to Joseph. And boy Joe carried this body and took it to his own sepulcher and buried. This is what God does when he places people on top. So that when people that are under are hiding their head, those who are billionaire influencers, those who are territorial commanders can arrive and say, I am a Christian. I am born again. I speak in tongues. I go to church. I pay my tithe and I have no apology. One man was in a business meeting, and the time I gave him for us to see elapsed. He told the business people, he said, I am on my way to my pastor. Your pastor? He said, yes, I have a meeting with him now. Really? Won't we finish this meeting? He said, meeting with him is the prosperity of this meeting. The same person, another time, he said, I'm going to my pastor now. One of the people that works with him, controlling billions, say, in that case, let me follow you. You'll be talking of, I want to see my pastor. I'm going to, let me follow you to this, your pastor. He brought him, and that will lead me to another point. This is the point. He brought him. When I looked at the man, he introduced him, and I knew the man is controlling billions from the introduction. I looked at him, I said, you know what? You need Jesus Christ. He sat straight on his seat. And I say, life is only meaningful with Jesus Christ. A time comes when there is no money that can save you. He shook on his seat. I said, I'd like to pray with you to surrender your life to Christ. Say, yes, sir. Go on your knees. I led him to Christ on the spot. By the time I finished talking with him, his friend asked him to wait for him outside. He said, thank you, sir. I have been struggling on how to lead him to Christ. He said, thank you, sir. Thank you. I have been praying for him, struggling on how to lead him to Christ. You have made the work easy for me. I told him, I said, your own work now is follow up. I told him, and seize my number. Contact me if you have any need. Not that I will contact you if I have a need. And do you understand what I'm talking about? That will take me to another point. Which... Praise the Lord. Look at the neighbor and say, I need to stand for the kingdom. So I must be up. Wake up, wake up, wake up. Somebody stand up on your feet. Say it louder. Say, I need to be a voice for the kingdom. I need to be a force for the kingdom. So I must be up. I must be above only. So when the need arises, I can speak up for God. I can speak up for the kingdom. You believe that, shout the Lord and say amen. Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. Number six. I hope that it is taking me to the point. Alright. Alright, let me jump to that point. Number six is to influence and impact people of influence and authority for God. To influence and impact people of influence and authority for God. That is what I just mentioned now. This man's influence was able to help influence his friend for God. You know, it takes influence to approach influence. It takes authority to approach authority. If you don't have authority, you approach authorities with inferiority. If you are not an authority, when you hang around the climate of authorities, you can be overwhelmed with inferiority. But when you are an authority, spiritual authority, financial authority, you approach authorities with authority. And it is easy. It's easy for a professor to reason with a professor about God and the gospel because the other professor may be doubting. It's easy for a billionaire to tell a billionaire about God. One man sat in the first class cabin of an aircraft some time back. He told me the story. He said a man sat with him and he said to him, he's born again Christian, child of God, property dealer somewhere in the world. And he said the man sat with him and he looked at the man and said, you know what? Good afternoon. He said that both of us are sitting together means we have many things in common. You must be an influential person who have a lot of substance. So we have a lot of things in common. What you have, I have. What I have, you have. But it is likely that there is something I have you don't have. I have a relationship with Jesus. I'm a born again child of God. What of you? Just blunt like that, raw. From that angle, he took off in leading the man, talking to the man about God. If we don't have people up, then the up becomes a mission field with no missionaries. If we don't have billionaires in the billionaires' realm, then the billionaires' realm has become a mission field with no missionaries. If we don't have military generals in the military generals' realm, then we have military generals as a mission field with no missionaries. Do you understand what I'm saying? But thank God we have plenty of them. Plenty of them. After your senior division in Jaji, they were meant to do your think party or what do you call that? Get together. No, not the personal party. The one that your course mate will do to celebrate the that is to rejoice at your graduation. Something at the finishing of the course. That's right. That kind of mess get together. And so they were saying, I remember my brain is is electricity. They were saying that. So in the get together, they are going to bring how to offer alcohol or offer this and offer that, and everybody is to donate towards it. So he told them that it's okay for people to donate towards it, but if alcohol will be served, my money will not be inside. So, after a while, they all look at it and say, well, what is the use of the alcohol anyway? No need. Everybody changed their mind. So, for that particular get-together, there was no alcohol. You remember now? No, there are stories you tell me that I will remind you. Hallelujah. It takes authority to relate with authority. How many of us want us to have mission field among the billionaires without missionaries? Somebody say, God forbid. That is why you are going up. 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 If you are going up and you believe not, shout the loudest, amen. Lift your hands and your voice and say, Father, I am available. I am available. I am available in that realm, above only, as a missionary to the people in that realm. Here am I, Lord. Use me. Give the Lord a praise and take your seat. I am excited because what I'm saying now, I have a lot of witness here. Was it yesterday you showed me the job offer? One of us here, sitting right here. You say, oh, the job offer has come for a contract, 10 figure. In the course of this conference, the paper met him here. Yeah. Right here. Right here. Right here on this ground.
that came to sit down for the, even arrived for the conference before it started. Sitting. So as I'm speaking now, it occurs to me that we have witnesses that are occupying the realm up. And many more are being recruited today that will occupy the realm up. Occupy the realm up. Occupy the realm up. Occupy the realm up. Every trace of scarcity and poverty and empty-handedness today, I declare, it is broken. Say amen like a believer. A louder believers, amen. That is number what was that? To influence and impact people of influence and authority. Now, you remember the Queen of Sheba, 1 Kings chapter 10, from verse 1 all the way to verse 10, she came all the way. And Solomon impacted her with wisdom. In 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 23, all the way to verse 24, we saw how Solomon was practically discipling kings. So King Solomon exceeded all the kings of the earth for riches and for wisdom. And all the earth sought to Solomon to hear his wisdom, which God has put in his heart. What wisdom is that? That Solomon was teaching the kings of Arabia, the kings of the Hittites, the kings of Syria, the kings of the Ammonites. What wisdom? Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1. Proverbs chapter 10. Ecclesiastes, Songs of Solomon. The wisdom that Solomon wrote that we can see where wisdom Solomon was using to disciple kings, including many that may not have been written. And so God is about to make some of us here disciples of kings. Disciples of rulers. Disciples of billionaires. Solomon was in that realm. And I'm sure you know that kings fraternize with kings. Acts 25, 13 to 14. In the trial of Paul the Apostle, King Agrippa. After certain days, King Agrippa and Bernice, came unto Caesarea to salute Festus. They relate and it was in their presence that Paul was brought. He said, there is a prisoner here, help me hear him. So they move in their cycles. In fact, in certain quarters, they marry each other's children. Am I communicating? So they move in their cycles. So it becomes very easy for the influence to happen. That is why we need people up so that there can be missionaries at the topmost level. Somebody say aloud amen. Somebody say aloud amen. And then, what number are we now? To influence and impact. That's number 7. We are going to number 7 now. Number 7 is to disciple institutions and organizations for God. And I want to emphasize this very seriously. To disciple institutions and organizations for God. This is not the general societal influence now. This is organizational discipleship. Organizational institutional discipleship. Where you are practically discipling the people that are on your payroll. Hear me well. You are practically discipling the people on your payroll. Somebody say, is that not segregation? No. If you like me, you like the work that I do, and you like what brought me to this level, then you must hear about my God. And I will tell you what God said concerning Abraham. Genesis 18:17 to 19. Look at that. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessing him. For I know him that he will command his children, one, and his household after him. And they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. I want you to understand something. When you hear household, you may be thinking like family, as we talk about today. It's different. When God said Abraham will command his children, that took care of his immediate family. When he said his household, it means anybody that is eating food from his effort. Anybody that is feeding through Abraham's enterprise. You see? How do I know? Genesis 14:14 told us how children that were born in Abraham's house, that is household. When Abraham heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants, employees, raised in his house under his cover, 318, and pursued them. That is, of all the people that are under his food, 318 of them, he recruited them into the army. That made his household. When the Bible talked about Job, he said he had a great household. Isaac, a great household. These were people with Isaac. How many children did Isaac have? He had Esau and Jacob. Was there any other child? Yeah, the Bible talked about he had a great household. Genesis 26 and in verse 16. Start from verse 14. For he had possession of flocks, possession of herds, and a great store of servants. That's equivalent to the household. Now, this is the point I'm going. God is saying that Abraham will not appeal to his employees. He will command. He will command his household to keep the law of his God. The staff are under the command to know his God. Somebody say, is there no freedom of choice? There is freedom to choose God. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? I want somebody's mentality to change. So that you don't just take care of people's welfare on earth. And under your watch, they go to hell. You employ them, pay them salary, pay them their children's school fees, assisted them. At the end, they ended in hellfire. What was the use of your employee force? Am I communicating? All employers of labor, take note. You won't come to the point where you will say, so that it's not misinterpreted, but you are forceful in the declaration of your faith and in your demand for them to know God and know Him genuinely. Solomon, Queen of Sheba, said, happy are these thy servants that stand and hear your wisdom. What is the wisdom? I just told you. Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Songs of Solomon. Anything that took you to work for Solomon, you must hear Proverbs. Wine is a mocker. If you like, keep on drinking. Anything that makes you to work for Solomon, you must continually hear the book of Proverbs. You must hear Ecclesiastes. Vanity upon vanity. All is vanity. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandment. This is the whole. You must hear it. Over and over and over. Or you resign. You must be at the morning devotion. You must be at the midday prayer. Otherwise, maybe this place is not a place for your work.
Is this changing somebody's mindset? We have a brother in this church. Career and workplace wisdom. He ordered it for all his workers. That book is loaded with wisdom of the workplace. If every morning, wisdom one is what? Wisdom two. Wisdom three. If they catch you randomly and they say, what is wisdom 15? You don't know it, you are gone. If you say you have another religion, why are you here? That is according to his own operation. This is a natural, all principles are parallel. It works for any religion you are. Everybody reads it, recites it. One day he brought some of the staff for me to pray for them on the altar. He began to talk to them so that he can confirm what I said. Oh, what is wisdom, ma'am? All of them chorus it. Two, three, from their head. Three, four, five, six. Till the end. What? There are people here who don't know the book even. Oh yes. One of our bank ladies went to the toppest position by that book. Now, so he will command his employee for. Now, this command is not. It's not against their interest. It is in their interest. In their interest to know their maker. In their interest to make heaven at the end. If a mother has to force the mouth of the child open and put quinine inside, and the child is screaming, is it out of hatred for the child? Pure, unadulterated love. This child must be rescued. That is how this command is. It's not a malicious command. It is a loving command. It is, God brought you my way so that you can get saved. God brought you my way because he knows if you come across me, you must be saved. One day, one of my relations came. He was going to school. And he asked for school fees or pocket money. I gave to him. I said, you know, what I'm giving you now can finish. But there is something you should ask me to give you, which you haven't asked and I haven't given. That is your salvation. Say, yes, sir. I'm not under pressure giving you money. But what if I give you the money and you end the hell at the end? Go on your knees. Lift your hands. You are ready to surrender your life? Oh, urgently. He gave his life to Christ. He has not turned back since then. Maybe 20 years ago. Are you following what I'm saying here today? Somebody say amen. I have a cousin who is a Muslim. I sent his, paid his way through school. I led him to, I preached to him. He was not convinced. I gave him books to read. He was not convinced. Oh, he said, the book is very interesting, very exciting. Can I plead with you? Can we pray? He said, not yet. But I'm okay. Heaven has borne record that I have planted seed. I didn't say I won't pay your school fees until you give your... I can't say it. I won't do that. Sent him to... He finished, became a graduate. Went for your service. Am I communicating at all? But God and heaven knows you have done what you are meant to do. Somebody say aloud, amen. Did somebody get anything here today? Pastors, I want you to tell the members of the church the things you are hearing, so that everyone that will be positioned in places of influence will not mismanage authority and abuse influence and begin to behave like unbeliever money misroad. Right? Oppressing people everywhere with money and position. And they think that is what it means to be rich. We must not allow the unbeliever set the pace for us. They don't know the reason why they are where they are. We know the reason why we are where we are. And we must set the pace for them. Somebody shout the loudest amen. Somebody shout the loudest amen.
Have I already reached number 8? No. Why did you write number 8? I am the one talking the talk. I'm not sure I've reached number 8. Please give us the accurate number. I want them, correct yourself, to disciple institutions and organizations for God. Now let's go through it one by one, and then we shall be through anymore now. The first thing, why is God taking people up? Number one. Read it out loud. Number one. Number two. The command, control, and rulership of the earth on behalf of our God. Number three. The resources of the Father for his cause on the earth. Number four. To be positioned to influence the lives of multitudes of people in society for God. Number five. To be positioned as voices for the kingdom in times of need. Number six. To influence and impact people of influence and authority for God. Number seven. And finally, number eight. To position kingdom people in positions of influence. That the billionaire will raise kingdom people to top levels in his realm. So that kingdom people can collectively incorporate governance, administer the affairs of organizations. Somebody say, is it not acting like the unbelievers, like placing your people around you? Not necessarily your people, not necessarily tribal people, kingdom people. Daniel did that. Daniel chapter 2, verse 48. Daniel chapter 2, verse 48. Then the king made Daniel a great man and gave him many great gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon. And chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. Then Daniel requested of the king, I have three brothers that I need in positions of influence. And the king set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel sat in the gate of the king. You know, everything is in the Bible. When you rise and nobody rises with you, that rise is fake. It's not authentic. It's not genuine. When you go up and all your brethren, all the brethren are down, it is not correct. You are the chief executive officer of the company. Another of your brothers, tongue-talking, Holy Ghost-filled, child of God, is the chief operating officer. Another one who carries integrity is the chief financial officer. Right? Another one around you is this, is that. When it is fasting and prayer in January, all of you are involved in the fast together. Nobody has any other agenda. When it is time to go for evangelism, you all go together. Everybody has the same agenda, kingdom agenda. The kingdom is established. They are using kingdom principles to make the organization run like fire. And the impact of the kingdom on their lives is translated into the kingdom. The chief executive officer is building 10 churches a year, 20 churches a year from his finances. The chief operation officer is building like 5 a year from his own funds coming to him. And so on and so forth. It is like an octopus operation. It's like a spread. Everybody is rising. And then the influence is spreading like fire. Am I communicating? That is how the Jews do it. There are some people, the only person that comes to church among them in his entire organization is himself. His secretary is a witch. His accountant is in the occult. His treasurer is in another realm. He's such a nice person. I just don't want to discriminate. They will soon kill you and take over the whole place. Oh yes. And they'll be troubling the pastor with prayer, surrounded with the wrong people. And holding on to this, when they come to church, the people will wait for them outside. And they are their closest friend, their closest confidant at work. One man, young man, rising up very well. He had overseen money already in billions. Young man. One day he came and he said, I should pray for him. And I brought him to the altar. As I was praying for him, the next person to him, I looked at him, my spirit was troubled on the spot. And I'm to pray for his people and his company and his organization on the altar here. Troubled and worried. At the end I called him and said, who is that person that is your secretary? Or whatever, his assistant, I think chief of police or something. The next person to him. He said he's his son. So I say he's a dangerous man. Do you know him? Does he go to church? He thinks so. He says he worships somewhere. I say be careful with him. Do your best and just watch him. I was advising too late. In less than 4 weeks, this man crashed him. This man crashed him. He did some financial fraud. That money was being withdrawn from his account, like 50 million, 50 million, 50, in rapid succession before he could get to the bank. And this man was administering people's money. He hasn't recovered. I trust that God will help him. Do you understand what I'm saying? So they position snakes around themselves. Position serpents around themselves. Daniel was wise. He said, sir, I don't want to sit here alone. Babylon is filled with magicians, astrologers, stargazers, necromancers, witches, wizards. If you have brought me here, I need these people around. So he was surrounded with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Anything that escaped Shadrach cannot escape Meshach. If he escaped Meshach, Abednego will nail it down. Stand up on your feet, people. If Daniel did not ask, maybe they would have appointed a sorcerer as his secretary, a stargazer. As his PA, a witch, as his financial controller. He would have been in the midst of demons. The only, and in our place, they say if you say one, say the other. If they appoint you, because you are of the kingdom and you mess up, God will deal with you. Because it's a betrayal, not of the confidence of the man, but a betrayal of kingdom principle of the kingdom. Because the man said, this man is from my church, and then appointed you as your chief operation officer or the chief financial, and you are the one who finally killed him. Ran the whole thing down. I know him from church. Your judgment, you can't escape it. I'm not prophesying, it's reality. If you doubt, ask Judas Iscariot. When people are trusted and they betray, they don't escape it. just Judas. So anytime you have been entrusted because somebody is taken up there and the person feels that since you are a kingdom person, it should bring you close to himself. Just over deliver. Go above board. Go extra. Go the extra mile to confirm that that person did not make a mistake. Some people avoid brethren because of experiences of time past. Because of what they experience in the hands of others. How they try to help somebody else, the person block them. And then took the job that they were meant to. Somebody say a loud amen. But when you go up, please do your best to go up with people. Everything that I know concerning these matters is what I'm teaching you. If there's something I know more that I haven't taught you, I'm sure God is aware of that. Nothing on this subject I'm telling you now that I'm not telling you for the purpose of all of us going up. Are you following me? So I want you to do likewise. And I believe in a short time, you know, we're in a place like Microsoft and those organizations. You don't just have the CEO as billionaire, but other billionaires. On the billionaires, co-founder, billionaires, chief executive, on the board, millionaires and billionaires at various levels. Oh, yes. Yes. So you rise. You empower others to rise. Position them around yourself. With sensitivity, with perception. Don't ever be afraid of an upper that will betray you. Because for every upper, there is a root that will not leave. Because if you look at everybody like upper, you will miss out on your root. And if you look at everybody as if they are root, you will be damaged by upper. So you maintain a balance. Hallelujah. We are ready for the anointing now. We have to be out of here so that we can rest a little for the night vigil. Lift up your hands and your voice and begin to appreciate God for his word to you today. Appreciate him, honor him, adore him, worship him, glorify him. Lift your voice and lift your hands and go, give him the praise. Give him the praise. Give him the praise. Give him the praise. Give him the honor. Give him the adoration. Lift your hands and say after me, say, Father, I make myself available as an influence in my generation. Help me, Lord, not to fail you. Help me, Lord, to occupy that place you have in mind for me. I am available. Oh Lord, in the name of Jesus, open your mouth and pray. in Jesus' precious name.
At times people look for extreme expertise to position in places and they are unable to find them among the brethren. Am I communicating? That is why the talk of yesterday was too necessary. Excellence. Take yourself to the highest level of what you do. Because the brother is looking, he wants somebody from the church and the office has job description as well as qualification for that position. And he couldn't find, he hasn't interviewed anybody from church who meets all the qualification. This is a major, major issue. That is why we must keep on developing ourselves. Like Daniel, Queen Esther surrounded herself with maidens, assistants of different areas that could fast for 4 days without food. Those are not just people that are looking for the new mascara. Eyeshadow, neck shadow, nose shadow. Those who are spiritual atomic bombs. I and my maidens will fast like that was their habit. If it's something they were doing for the first time, it will be a Herculean task. This is their normal life. She went to the palace and took with her to the palace prayer machines as officers around her. The Bible is complete in everything. No? Very complete. Lift your two hands and say, Father, Father, I receive the discipline to pay every price to go to the top. And I receive that grace to be surrounded by the right people on my way up. In the name of Jesus, open your mouth and pray. Jesus. Whenever somebody is to go up, especially in royalty, the oil is poured on their head. 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 1. Samuel took the vial of oil, 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 1, and poured it upon Saul. And the Spirit, and he said, because the Lord has anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance. 1 Samuel chapter 16 verse 13. Again, Samuel took the horn of oil, anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. Today, something, the oil of royalty, oil for the top, is coming upon you. Amen. You are going to lift up your hands and begin to speak to God. I receive that oil. While we take, the mantles are falling. Fresh fire is burning. The oil is dropping. The hand of the Lord is here. You can go on.
Mantles are falling. Fresh fire is burning. The oil is dropping. The hand of God is here. Master!
fresh fire is burning. The oil is dropping.
the bottle of oil and let the prayer begin. And say after me, say, Father, I make demands on oil of royalty.
Of royalty.
I make demands on fresh oil.
On fresh oil.
Like you anointed David as king in Israel.
I receive
an anointing
for royalty
in my realm,
in my domain.
I receive it
now.
Open your mouth and begin to pray. Nobody important, nobody great, and nobody influential can come out of there. By the reason of this anointing of royalty, I declare that embargo is lifted. Amen. The yoke is broken. Amen. The top place in your calling, top place in your profession, top place in your business, the top place in your career, the top place, that is your place. There are people, there is greatness in your lineage, but an ancestor, a grandfather, a father sacrificed the greatness of the and the future of the children. Just decided to be great and so that nobody could be anything anymore. Today, that covenant is broken. Amen. That yoke is broken. Amen. That crown that is meant for your head, I declare, receive it now! Amen. That garment of royalty that is meant for your life and your body, receive it now! Amen. Receive the spirit of excellence, authority, dominion, rulership, and influence. Amen. In the name of Jesus!
I decree a new day. I decree a new day. I decree a new season. I decree fresh help. On your return from where you have come, it will be clear that a king just arrived. A queen just arrived. Royalty just arrived. Everyone who is royalty is being undermined, attacked by an infirmity, a sickness in your body, a disease, a cycle. Today I declare it is crushed. Fresh fire, fresh oil, fresh grace. So shall it be. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Take a little of that oil in your hand. Close the bottle. If there's someone near you who doesn't have, you give them a little. You take a little, close the bottle and drop it.
And there is a place my heart cries out, Lord. There is a place
I am yearning for. It is a place where deep calls to the deep. I am overwhelmed. Hey, hey! By this deep longing, Lord, there is a place my heart cries out for, Lord. There is a place, hey, I am yearning for. It is a place where deep calls to the deep. Oh, it is a place of your dwelling, Lord. Take me, Lord.
Take me, Lord.
To your secret place, Lord. Take me by the hand.
Take me by the hand. To your
holy place. It's a life-changing moment. Somebody is about to be ushered from the ground to the top. somebody from the middle to the top. Somebody from just below the top to the top. If your hands when I say in the name of Jesus, 1, 2, 3, you scream at the top of your lungs, I receive, and then begin to blast in tongues. Lift it high. Father, let it be. In the name of Jesus, 1, 2, and 3. Bless it on your head. Receive. Up your two hands everywhere you are. Father, we give you the praise. We give you the honor, the adoration, the worship. I declare it a new day, amen. New season,
amen.
Fresh help,
amen.
That oil in your hand, anywhere you are, you release it. The business premises, your office, your house, the ministry, the authority of God is established.
Amen.
The rulership of God is established.
Amen.
that place has become a spiritual palace.
Amen.
The place of a king. The place of royalty.
Amen.
Testimony shall abound.
Amen.
Of territorial control.
Amen.
Of multitudes influence for God.
Amen.
Of the command of massive resources.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Master. In Jesus' name. Give the Lord a praise. Take your seat.